Hello there. It has been a while. Welcome to a new episode of Lauren Has Friends. My name is Lauren Kozlowski, and this much overdue episode is a treat for you. I talked with musician Ryan Allen, and we had a great discussion about his various bands, the Sonic Youth breakup, and vinyl records. I don't really understand vinyl, but he's a big fan. And I said, explain yourself. I said it nicer than that. We had a wonderful discussion about more than a month ago, and I'm excited to play that for you. In the meantime, what have I been doing? I got married. That takes up a little bit of your time. Anyone who's ever gotten married would tell you the same. And then we went on a honeymoon. I fed some giraffes, or a giraffe. I learned about elephants. Elephants in captivity, very sad. Really shouldn't be in captivity, because they die. I know. And what else? Slept in every day. Every day on the honeymoon, which was fantastic. If you have not slept in before, I highly recommend it. It's great. After that, I finished the Grant Morrison book, Super Gods. It made me want to read more Grant Morrison comic books. The book itself, he spends a lot of time on things I don't really care about, like drug binges, and not enough time on things I do care about, like his run of X-Men. I could have used a little bit more insight in that section. And because of that book, though, I did drop like $100 on Grant Morrison comic books, Animal Man and Doom Patrol, the entire run of Doom Patrol, actually. So I look forward to reading those eventually at some point. I'm still very behind in my comics. But enough about me. Let's get into this interview with Ryan, where we talk about so many things, and we also get in. I always wanted to know whatever happened to Thunderbirds Are Now, and he sets me straight. So take a listen. All right. So, Ryan, hello.
Hey.
Hi. How are you today, sir?
I'm exhausted.
You're exhausted. I guess we can start right off the bat. For people who don't know you, you are a you're in rock bands, plural. You're in a whole bunch, off and on.
Yes.
The current
yes.
project is Destroy This Place. Yeah, what can you tell us about that?
It's a four piece loud pop band. You know, we're all sort of fans of 90s indie rock and 70s power pop and hardcore, and we kind of took all of those influences and sort of figured out a way to sort of mash them together. So it's melodic, but it's not by any means soft. That it's definitely for all four of us, I think Nirvana is kind of like a common ground, you know, and so sort of taking what you know they did, which was make loud but melodic rock songs and kind of run with it. I think we're trying to echo that a little bit. Not to say that they're a main influence, but
I hear a lot of influences in the album. I'm always something I found when I listened to a bunch of your albums today. I think I was telling you before we started, and I kept hearing Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah,
they kept popping up.
Dinosaur.
And I was like, well, that's always a sharp one to go from. And I've only really gotten into them kind of recently because I have a friend of mine and he was like, you don't know Dinosaur Jr.? And I'm like, I know the one song that Spike Jonze did the video. And he was very upset with me. So
yeah.
I had to kind of go through and really go back through. And I like what I've been hearing. So,
yeah, I mean, I've always responded to rock bands that are rock band, and Dinosaur Jr., Sonic Youth, you know, Nirvana, the Pixies, you know, these are bands that have figured out a way to be aggressive and to be sort of like unruly and loud and sort of like rough, but always are able to deliver melodically and lyrically and stuff. So that's what I respond to mostly when I'm listening to music. I mean, I like other things, you know, by all means, but I'm really happy playing in Destroy This Place because I feel like it's the first band that I've ever been into that's really been able to capture such a, you know, or emulate or whatever you want to call it, you know, that influence that I've always had. You know, I feel like this is the first band that's been able to do that the way I've always wanted to do it. No offense to my other bands.
Right, of course. Well, I always thought it was interesting because with Thunderbirds Are Now, you had Make History, which came out in 06, if I'm right, correct? And that album, I mean, you made like the Rolling Stone top 50 of the year, if I'm correct.
Strangely.
And you guys, I feel like you guys were like poised to really like go and break in like a bigger way than you already had. And then you kind of backed off. And I was never sure if that was something like you guys had some internal strife. You're like, F you, can't get along with you guys. Or if there was just something else that you wanted to do creatively. And it sounds like more of like a creative thing.
You know, we went through a lot of different lineup changes. But at the end of the band's like touring or whatever, like we were all getting along great. And like the final lineup of the band, we were still all good friends. And so, you know, like my brother's in the band and Matt, who's played drums on Make History and toured prior to that record and after that record in the band, we worked together, and Julian and Matt, who's also a dear friend of mine, you know, played bass in the band. Him and Matt are in a band together, and we're all still friends, you know, and it has nothing to do with not liking each other.
Well, that's
we
good.
Like each other a lot. Yeah, it just, you know, I think part of it was just, you know, being just kind of like deflated a little bit and a little, you know, exhausted with how much work we put in to the band, and just being tired of touring a little bit. And, you know, I got married around that time, and I wanted to sort of settle down a little. And I think the music we were playing, although I'm super proud of it, had sort of this like time that near the end of our run, you know, was getting a little watered down, and people's reaction to Make History, I felt, was surprised because we were trying to steer away from that, like, sort of dancey punk thing. And we were trying to do something a little bit more, with more scope, you know, and not just kind of use, like, some kind of four-on-the-floor dance beat in every song. You know, we were trying to think outside of that box. And, you know, I think we achieved it to a certain degree. But, yeah, I just think we were getting sort of, like, tired of playing that kind of music. When you make records and are fortunate enough to have people hear them and actually like them, which, you know, is awesome, and I don't think we expect it at all. People start sort of, they create this expectation for you to deliver a certain thing over and over and over again. And when you deviate from that, some people, you know, don't really know how to handle it. And I've been that kind of music fan where if a band I really like goes in some direction that I wasn't expecting, sometimes I get pissed and sometimes I'm like, oh, that's awesome, you know. And I think for us, our experience was more like, you know, as we got less spastic, it's more on melody and making, you know, songs that we thought would last longer than, you know, that sort of trend or that, you know, moment in time. People, I don't think they knew how to digest it. All of that mixed together created a situation where we just really needed a break. And we've been on that break for about, I don't know, 6 years now?
Something so. Like that.
But that's okay. You know, I mean, like I said, we're all still friends and we all still respect each other. And you know, I feel like there's a lot of TV shows or whatever, you know, bands or whatever that have flogged it too long and should have stopped earlier than they did. You know, the Seinfeld approach where it's like, go out while you are on top. I've always thought that was kind of a cool idea. You know, it's just, the show never got bad, so let's just end it, you know?
Yeah, it's true. So you want to be more of like the Arrested Development of bands as opposed to the Simpsons of bands.
Sure. I'm totally into that idea of just like, you know, if we never made another record again, I'm happy with our records and I'm proud of them. And I think we said all we needed to say. You know, we did all we needed to do. And you're right, we certainly were poised for something more. And if we had maybe, you know, more money or more resources or, you know, or if we came along maybe 2 years after we started playing, where the internet became even more, you know, of a commodity as far as music goes, you know, maybe we would have had more, like, longevity or something. Like I said, I'm proud of what we did, and I'm proud that we're all still friends. Even people who aren't in the band or weren't in the band after, you know, they left, you know, we're all still friendly, mostly. And, and it's fun.
I mean, I'm glad to hear that, because that was I was always kind of curious about that. Like, I was like, how would, you know, I'm liking these other bands. I'm liking Destroy This Place. And I was like, why? What happened with that? Well, I'm glad to know that it was a creative issue and more and less than a, I don't like this guy anymore. I'm glad that everybody's still getting together.
And I wouldn't even say it was creative. To a certain degree, it was, I guess. But, you know, I think it's just for the four of us, especially my brother, you're just getting kind of tired of that kind of sound. You know, we all wanted to go off and make other kinds of music, which we all have clearly, you know, if anybody's paid any attention, you know, we've all have done, you know.
And you have, absolutely. Yeah. One thing I wanted to touch on, which I'm sure you are totally sick of talking about, is the fact that you are a new father. And
I'm not sick of
it. Not sick of it yet? Okay. All right. That's good.
I'm a proud new father.
Well, that's exciting. Previous to being a father, were you one of those guys who, like, people would have their kids and you'd be like, cool, dude, but, you know, I'm all right. And now you have a kid and you're like, I want to talk about babies all the time.
I don't know. Like, I haven't really had much experience with infants. You know, like, I never really... My wife had, like, babysat, you know, when she was younger and all that stuff. But and a couple of my family members have just recently had kids, like, kind of around the same time as I have. But I don't know. Like, even the friends that I have that have kids, like, I wouldn't see them enough to really have an opinion one way or the other. It was certainly something I was, like, I guess scared of, you know, and just... You know, not sure how it was gonna impact everything, but you know, now that he's here, it's. I mean, there's nothing more entertaining than just sitting there and watching him, and it puts so many things in perspective. You know, it makes you respect your parents more, understand why they're so crazy all the time. You know, they care about you, and they do anything for you. And then when you have a child, it's like, I get it. You know, I'd do anything for him. You know, and. And, you know, it makes your life have, you know, more meaning. Even though going to work sucks, you know, I'm working because I want to make sure this human that I created eat, you know, have clothes, you know, and everything, music, exercising, like everything that you do, you know, my wife's relationship or our relationship, you know, everything's taken on kind of a new, everything's sort of seen in a new light. And it's exciting to sort of have a new perspective on things.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that having a child is working out really well for you. I always joke, though. We always joke around, like, because I don't know about you, but I am not really a jock type person. And the joke my dad always makes that whenever I have a kid, he's going to be like an athlete or whatever. And so I always wonder for you, like, is the worry, like, you got a kid now, it's going to be great. And you're like, yo, you got to listen to the Pixies. You got to listen to Nirvana. And he's be like, no, man, these Black Eyed Peas are the bomb. I'm going to stick with this. Is that ever a worry? Yeah,
there's an article that The Onion had been circulating around Facebook. Like, dad makes kid listen to, like, obscure. I don't even remember, like, the headline. But it's basically, like, you know, a picture of a dad, like, holding a Talking Heads record to, like, a little kid, and you know, essentially the point of the article is, like, you know, your kid's going to be out of touch with whatever's, like, cool, you know, to the mass, you know, group of kids or whatever. And you know, I'm not like planning on, like, forcing, like, any sort of life path just because, like, that's how I am. At the same time, I would be lying to you if I wasn't, like, bummed, you know, I wouldn't be bummed if he was, like, not into music, you know. But my dad was always really, like, cool about all that stuff. You know, he's into sports, but he's into music. And you know, I played sports when I was a kid. You know, I wasn't, like, the greatest, but I wasn't terrible either. And the goal is, you know, and you can, like, fantasize and, like, daydream about all that stuff, but right now it's just, like, I gotta change his diaper. Make sure, like, he's not, you know, soaking wet in his own piss, you know, like,
right.
Those are the things that are, like, constantly on your mind, you know, so the future is, you know, it's going to be exciting, but who knows how it'll turn out.
Right.
I'm sure he'll have, you know, an interest in music, but, you know, as long as he's not, like, pushing other kids down on the ground and, like, trying to, like, be a bully.
Yeah.
Like, he could, you know, an all-star baseball player for all I'm concerned, as long as he's not, like, a little douchebag. And that's fine, you know?
Yeah, that's all you can really hope for. Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you about this. Never mind 20 years I assume, since you're a big Nirvana fan, were you like you're a little older than me, so were you like right there when it came out?
I was 11 years old when it came out.
Okay, all
right. So, you know, and I would say, like, when you're 10, 11, 12, and there's no internet and there's nothing like that, you know, to really influence you, you know, there's MTV and there's the radio and then there's your friends, you know. I was into whatever, like, Criss Cross or MC Hammer or whatever, and, you know, when I heard Nirvana and I heard Pearl Jam and I heard Soundgarden and, you know, Smashing Pumpkins and stuff, like, that was certainly, like, the turning point, you know. And I think that there's anybody my age who's, like, into indie rock or even just, like, Arcade Fire and, you know, Kings of Leon or whatever, you know, that isn't necessarily indie rock, you know, had that experience with Nirvana. I remember reading Come As You Are, which is that, like, you know, book that came out, I think. Did that come out after he was dead?
That came out right after, yeah.
Yeah, it, you know, that book was basically like an encyclopedia for me. Like, you know, not only was it about the story of Nirvana and all that stuff, but, you know, back to what you were talking, you know, earlier, Dinosaur Jr., the Melvins, Sebado, like all these bands, Meat Puppets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that book, every chapter had 10 bands name dropped that was like, okay, I got to find out about those bands. And that really was the gateway for me, you know, to figure out who the Pixies were, figure out, you know, who Flipper was. And, you know, sometimes I would hear it and hate it, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would hear it and I would be like, this is amazing. Prior to, like, Google, you know, that's how you had to find out about that shit. And it was fun. Go to the record store and, you know, have the, like, $20 that, you know, you got from your parents or you got from your, like, paper route or whatever it was, and, like, buy, you know, a CD or a tape and, like, hope that it was going to be cool. Nirvana was certainly, like, the impetus for, like, finding out more about, like, independent and underground music.
What was the, do you, I don't know if you know this, do you know, remember what the first album you bought was?
The very first album ever?
That you ever bought with your own money.
I ever bought with my own money. I remember, like, the first, the transition year from, like, tapes to CDs.
Because
I bought tapes, you know, so I bought, like, you know, Pearl Jam's, you know, Versus, Stone Temple Pilots' Core on tape, you know. But I also had, you know, tapes before that. I had tapes when I was in third grade, you know. I had Poison and Warrant. And then, like, the first CD I ever got, I think I got the No Alternative compilation.
Yes.
Which was awesome comp that Nirvana was on, Smashing Pumpkins, and I think Screaming Trees maybe, or something, I don't remember. But, Beastie Boys were on it. So I got that, I got Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger, and I think I got Siamese Dream on DVD, like, for Christmas, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So those are my earliest memories of, like, not just, like, going to the mall and getting, like, Vanilla Ice or whatever, you know. Like, okay, like, these are my CDs and I still have them, you know.
Mm-hmm. My first album I ever bought with my own money was Nevermind, which I always thought was interesting. I was like, well, that's, like, later on when that was, like, a trivia question people would ask, I'm like, oh man, I so lucked out. It could have been something so terrible.
I had it on tape, you know, so mm-hmm. I don't know the definition of, like, first you, with my own money, I don't remember, you know, but definitely, like, had that on tape, you know, 10 on tape, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. Now, I know you're a pretty big vinyl guy. You're into the vinyl, the whole vinyl thing. And my dad had vinyl growing up. He still has vinyl, but I don't know. I've had, like, I wouldn't say arguments, but discussions with people about, like, the sound fidelity versus CD versus vinyl and everything. I've had people, like, pretty much shout me down saying, like, vinyl is just the be all end all of sound. And then I'll have conversations with my dad, and my dad's like, I'm so glad vinyl is done because it deteriorates right away. And that's why he was so thrilled when CDs came out. Where do you, I mean, I assume that there's a sound issue there. You're not just collecting it just because it's neat and hip.
No, I mean, I like owning the record, you know, the idea of, like, going to your record store and finding something that's hard to find or whatever. And it's fun to, like, sit around the house on a day that we're not doing anything and just, you know, kind of just listen to records and play with Emmett and get up and flip the record, you know. I think that's why I like records. It's not a sound thing for me at all.
Okay.
Some records sound like shit, you know, like, that are like scratched and like I'm like, God damn it! Like why did I buy this? I should have listened to it beforehand, you know. and then I just go and listen to it on my iPod later because I have it on my iPod too. But I talk to people at work a lot. I think that most people don't really give a shit. They have the song for free. If it sounds kind of bad in context to what it would sound like on a CD, whatever. They got it for free, so they don't really care, you know?
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's not like a fidelity thing for me. I just like owning the record. And, yes, I think you could certainly make a claim, like, a lot of records, depending on how they're recorded, sound really good on vinyl. But I also like the convenience of having something that I can stick in my pocket, too, and just to hear the song. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly am not, like, one way or the other, you know, but for me, it's always been, like, I want to hear the songs, you know, and if that's, like, downloading it or whatever, then I will, you know. But a lot of times I'll then buy it on record, you know, if I really like it, like the Wild Flag record or whatever.
That's a great record.
Yeah, like, I couldn't wait to hear it. You know, sometimes I'll look at, like, MP3 blogs or whatever and found it on an MP3 blog, downloaded it immediately, listened to it on my phone or my iPod or whatever 100 times. And I probably listened to it on vinyl 6 times. I just want to hear the songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, and I think I respect those girls, and I think they're awesome musicians. And, you know, I love Merge. It's my favorite record label. And so I'm going to buy it, you know, either way. I'm going to buy it on vinyl.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So wait, are you saying, like, more than likely you would, like, download it when it leaks, but then buy the vinyl?
Yeah, I mean, I've done that a lot.
Okay.
Because I just want to hear the music, you know? Uh-huh. And then if I like it, you know, and I want to support whatever it is, you know, I'll definitely buy it, but I'll buy it on record. You know?
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what is the record store situation in Detroit right now? Because when I left, it was like Record Time was done, and then I called somebody and they told me Rockabilly's is gone. Is what's still left there?
All gone. The only record stores that get new vinyl would be, well, there's Ann Arbor record stores, you know, those, they still get new records, like Wazoo and Underground Sounds. But then there's UHF in Royal Oak that opened last year. Which is an amazing record store. It's owned by the guy who owns Lost and Found Vintage. It's right next door. They're the best record store in town, without a doubt. I mean, they're really the only record store. There's Stormy in Dearborn, you know, which, you know, they get more, like, electronic and ambient and sort of, like, more left-of-center kind of stuff, although they'll get Destroyer's new album or whatever.
Okay.
It's kind of far for me to drive out there, so
yeah,
I'll definitely go to UHF. You know, that's a great record store. And if you come back, you know, if you come home, I would definitely recommend stopping there. It's awesome.
I will definitely check that out because, yeah, the last time I went in, I was like, oh, I'll stop by. Oh, wait, no, Record Time's closed. And then I said, I might stop by Rockabilly's. And they're like, no, you're not. You're not going there. So I'm glad to hear about this UHF place. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And the guys who own it, like I said, they own Lost and Found Vintage. So they're always going to, like, estate sales for the clothing store, you know. So when they go to these estate sales, they're finding awesome records, too. And then, you know, they've been around for a year and a half now. So people are contacting them like, hey, you know, this record collection became available. Do you guys want to come check it out? So, you know, they get a bunch of new records, but they have a great, you know, punk section, a great indie rock section, a great, you know, they're building up their jazz section. You know, their like classic rock section or whatever is great. I mean, they have shit that anybody could walk in there and spend, you know, $1,000
or whatever. Wow. Well, that's an endorsement right there. All right.
I mean, being in, you know, Michigan, it's great.
I had this further down on my list of questions, but I'll bump it up because I've been looking at your shirt for this whole conversation. So the whole Sonic Youth thing, how is that affecting you? Is that crazy?
It's just weird to think that why after 27 years would you be like, okay, we're not going to be married. And of course, you know, nobody knows what happened, you know. I don't have time in my life to, like, sit down and try to think about it. I was talking to somebody about it. We played a show last night, and I was talking to somebody about it, and I thought their last record was awesome. And if they never made any more records, that's a really good one to go out on. You know, and I don't think it would be Sonic Youth. I mean, obviously without Thurston, but I don't think it would be Sonic Youth without Kim either. If them getting divorced led to them not being a band anymore, like, it would bum me out, but their last record's great. Their last few records have been great. Back to what we were talking about earlier about sort of, like, going out on top or whatever, like, if they didn't make any more records anymore, I think it'd be fine, because Thurston Moore, all those dudes do tons of other things, you know, musically, mm-hmm. and you know, artistically, with clothing, and, you know, they have their hands in all these other things, you know. I don't think that they'll be bored at
right.
all, you know.
Plus, it was like 16 albums, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. And not to mention, you know, EPs and all the experimental things that they've done. They have that SY series, released krautrock inspired records, instrumental records, and ambient records, noise records. I mean, you know, they've done more than most bands could ever even fathom. You know, and they're also getting old. Kim Gordon's older than my dad. You know.
How old is Kim Gordon?
I think she's like 58 or something.
Oh,
like
wow.
That, you know, and which is awesome.
That segues into a question I had. As far as is something that I talk about a lot with my friends is the fact that Jay-Z is now 42 and he's still rapping. And that's kind of a crazy taboo. Like, you yourself, are you 30?
30. I'll be 32.
You're still in, like, you're in your 30s. You're still whatever. But I mean, is there ever a point where you think you'd get up on a stage and be like, I am too old for this. I feel ridiculous. Does that ever something that...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure. You know, yeah. I mean, I see bands reuniting and stuff, and I think it's cool sometimes. You know, like, I saw the Pixies, whatever, like, when they first got back together, and I thought it was awesome. You know, but I never saw the Pixies. There's some bands that I've seen that are getting back together, and part of me is like into it. Part of me is like skeptical of it. Like, you know, like, I love Archers of Loaf, and I would probably, well, I'd definitely go see them if they came here, but. At the same time, like, I see pictures of Eric Bachman in the singer, and he just looks like, he looks like James Hetfield or something from Metallica, but like,
wow,
40 plus pounds or something, you know, I mean, he looks just old, you know, so I don't know, like, the older you get, I mean, I look at the Rolling Stones and I'm just like, you know, they look ridiculous.
They
you know?
Do.
I think everybody thinks that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the Foo Fighters a couple of weeks ago, and Dave Grohl's, he's got to be in his 40s. He looks fit, and the band is, like, super tight. And I know your favorite band, or one of our shared, you know, favorite bands is Sloan.
Oh, yeah, those guys, they still got it, man. It's crazy.
And they don't look stupid. I mean, I think they look cool. Well, Patrick looks stupid, but Jay looks cool. They all look cool. Even Andrew has, you know, white hair, which he's had white hair for 10 years.
Yeah,
you know?
He's had white hair since Pretty Together, I'm pretty sure.
Look cool, you know, and they still make good records, and, you know, they still write good songs, so, you know, and I think it depends on the kind of music you're making. When I see, like, Dave Mustaine, there's a huge disconnect for me, you know,
uh-huh.
He just looks like this old guy with long hair, with a pot belly, playing these, like, you know, metal songs. It just looks silly to me, you know, but then I look at Chris Murphy, and, you know, he's in his 40s, and he looks cool, but I think it's because they play music that's, to me, timeless. And if you make timeless music, I guess you could play music for as long as you want to.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I saw Foo Fighters here in Pittsburgh. I think they played here a couple days after they played Detroit. Yeah, they were tight and they were awesome, and I was blown away.
Yeah, I mean, they're a total, like, professional arena rock band. I was getting bored by their, like, 12-minute interludes and guitar solos and drum solos and stuff, but, you know, on the whole, I mean, those dudes are not young anymore. You know, they're not in their 20s. And Dave Grohl's, you know, running up and down the catwalk and screaming his ass off and shit. You know, there's something to be said about people with experience playing music. You look at a bunch of these, like, emo bands who are 19, 20, 21 years old and, you know, or even just, like, blog kind of, like, approved hipster bands, and a lot of them just look like they don't know what they're doing, and they're just lost and being told what to be and all that stuff. So, you know, if that's being, like, that's the young sort of way to be, like, uh-huh. I'd rather turn my direction to bands and artists that are gonna deliver, and you can only do that through experience. But, you know, on the other hand, we played with Yuck. Do you know that band, Yuck?
I do. Yeah, I think I've listened to their album once. Yeah.
And, you know, they're great, and they're super young. They're 21 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, we're all in our 30s, like, opening up for this band, like, 10 years younger than we are. at a certain point, you're just like, they're good.
Oh, this is going back a few years. I saw Black Kids open up for Cut Copy, which is a strange bill in and of itself. I remember thinking, like, these songs are supposed to be dancey, and they seemed like they were, like, playing, like, everything, like, a half step too slow. Like, they weren't quite sure of themselves. And then I don't know if they've imploded or something, because I haven't heard from them in years. But
well, that's a perfect example of a band who, like, had a good song or whatever and made its way through, you know, the internet to, you know, the right people. And then they blew up, but they weren't ready, you know, mm-hmm. and they didn't have that, like, those years of, like, honing their, like, sort of skills, playing in basements and playing to nobody. And, you know, all of a sudden they're thrust into this spotlight, so to speak. And I was actually reading an interview yesterday with this guy, Henry, that I have acquaintances with. He runs this, or has run this, like, magazine called Chunklet, which is, like, a great indie rock, like, sort of zine. And he's in his 40s or whatever, and he basically was like, you know, everybody was freaking out about, like, Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. And then they had to go on tour, and they sucked live, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they're probably better now, but the beginning of that, when, like, you make a record in your bedroom, and it catches on, but then you don't, like, have any experience playing music in front of people, and then you're, like, supposed to go out on tour and, like, support this record or whatever, and you've never really played, I mean, it can't be good. I've played a million shitty shows to get to, like, the point where I feel like I know what I'm doing. And I've written a million shitty songs. You know, for every shitty thing that I've done, I feel like you've learned how to do it better because you knew how to, you knew what to do, or you knew how to recognize that what I just did sucked. So it needs to get better, you know?
It's sort of like all the hours of practice pays off for the, more like all the homework you do ends up paying off for the test.
Well, right. You know, and I feel like one of the downfalls of the internet age with music is that a lot of people were able to cheat on the test without doing their homework. Some cheat and get better through time, but some just fizzle out because they, you know, don't have experience to really deliver.
Absolutely. Real quick, I don't know if you, I mean, I don't want to blindside you here, but do you have, like, top five records right now that you're listening to that you think other people should hear?
The Yuck record I like a lot. I think that they're a great band. Wild Flag's new record's really good. I really like the new Sloan record.
Yes.
The new Fucked Up record's awesome. And last but not least, let's see. Oh, I like the new Stephen Malkmus record. So those are my five.
All right. Sounds good.
Five today.
Five today. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's always changing. Always changing. All right. Well, Ryan, thank you for talking to me. Good luck with, do you have any gigs coming up?
We're playing on Monday with a band called Screaming Females that are from New Jersey. They're really good. And then I think we're just going to kind of focus on, like, writing some songs. So we're
cool.
Taking a little break.
All right.
I need to get my sleep.
I believe it. All right, sir. Well, thanks for talking with me, and good luck and everything. And we'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
All right, and there is your show. Big thank you to Ryan Allen for sitting down with me and taking time to talk about himself. Appreciate that a whole lot. And Ryan and I actually met when I made him sandwiches when I worked at the Macy's Deli. No one seems to know that Macy's has a deli. They have a deli. They make wrap sandwiches. They are delicious. Unless you work there, you get a little sick of them. But if you don't work there, they're delicious. A little overpriced, though. I can say that now. And that's our show. Write to the show. Write to me. Say hello. Lauren.Kozlowski@gmail.com. I may read them. You never know. I might read them on the show. If you say something nice or something insanely mean, I will also read that. So those are your options. Next week's show will be... there will be much less lag time between shows, I promise. Already, next show already in the bag, already in the can, as they would say. I talked to my wife. She was a lot easier to get a hold of. So we were able to put the show together a lot faster. So look forward to that. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again soon.